This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
We are back here on a Friday. What a way to end the week. Having a great time. Nicole Bateman is in from the EDC. If you're not following them on LinkedIn, you really should, because it's just a barrage of good news and things that are happening in and around not only our area, but the... There feels like an optimism to me today that... maybe people wanted to feel 5 years ago, but it was kind of a stretch. You know, you could be accused of being overly optimistic, where today it feels realistic.
Yep. Well, I think that's part of it, right?
About the state, too.
About the state, yep. I think sometimes things take a long time to come to fruition. By a long time, I mean multiple years. And so sometimes it's hard to maintain that optimism while you're working in the background to keep things moving. But, and 5 years ago, we're still kind of in the thick of a... right before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Right? So I think it was hard to remain optimistic when there was a lot of doom and gloom out there. But while that was happening, a lot of things were still churning in the background. And now we're starting to see a lot of that come to play, like Inova Feed, right? We started working with them before the pandemic. We announced their project during the pandemic because we could not do an in-person because we were still, you know, stay-at-home order. So we did a big, you know, Zoom meeting or press conference, which was different. But now we're starting to see those projects come alive as we cut the ribbon on that last week. And so
what's so cool, though, is that I mentioned LinkedIn. It's just the way you can communicate globally now. Like, I mean, the world is so small.
It is.
You literally, you know, people are sharing my stuff like in France, you know, about us welcoming them to our community. It just feels like we're so connected now.
I think more connected now than ever.
Yeah.
And I do, you know, of all the things that have happened, I think a real positive thing is that this connectivity and the ability for people to be comfortable meeting online and meeting through the online meeting apps, I just feel like we're more productive. You're spending less time traveling, less cost traveling. I mean, time is money. I know I say that a lot, but man, if you can make the most of your day. And so being in meetings and being able to connect like that and then being able to share through these different platforms is really important in not only getting our community message out, but also sharing our success here within the region, but globally.
Yeah.
And that's really important.
And then you're operating on different time zones. It's interesting because like you'll see like when the traction is, oh, well, that would be French time. That makes certain. Well, anyway, congratulations. You've played such a huge role in all of that. And I truly feel like people are really working together. And I know people like to say that. And if you're inside enough, you know that that's not always literally the case.
Sure.
And, you know, I remember, you know, used to talk to, you know, people in Congress and they would say, look, I mean, this was the conversation I have off the air with them. It's like, all right, the county's coming to me with one thing and the city's coming to me with something else. And EDC wants, you know, everybody had their own priority list and they didn't necessarily align. That's half the battle.
It is, because that's important, especially when you're talking about going after funding, right?
Yeah.
It has to be collaborative. And, you know, I think generally in the past, let's just say with like federal grants, they were hoping to see the collaboration. Now it's mandated. If you can't prove that you're collaborating and you don't have a past history of collaborating, you're less competitive for funding. And so it's important to have those, one, to start developing those relationships if you haven't already. And I'm talking in all circles and in all projects, right? Develop those relationships, because when it comes time to being able to collaborate, you have to have that trust. Otherwise, it's gonna be forcing it. In the end, that just never works.
No.
So
and
you know,
come to the table with
matter.
The entire strength of the community.
Yeah.
You go to the top of that list of making everybody happy.
Definitely.
I mean, that's what politicians want to do.
Yes. And you know what? They're looking for wins, too.
Yes.
So the more we can prove that, hey, we say what we're going to do when we're going to do it and everybody comes out a winner. Everybody likes that. We like that. Politicians like that. The people like it because then at the end of the day, that's who benefits. And then everybody's.
Well, what was
winning.
Fun to me to watch, you know, some of the social media stuff from Inova Feed was how proud they were of that day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
met
them.
It is.
And sometimes you think about corporate America and you think about, I mean, it's easy to sort of make caricatures of that. These folks, that was a big day for them.
It is. It was a big day. And, you know, we talk about this often, too, about how we're really bad at stopping and celebrating the wins. And I'll tell you, the Inova Feed crew, and I don't know if it's part of the French culture, but they stopped to celebrate, right? Their ribbon cutting and their groundbreaking ceremony was a big ceremony. Their opening
inauguration day.
You know, even call it a ribbon cutting. They called it an inauguration. I mean, because really, like that's what it is, yeah. You know? So they're very good at that. And I think that really made the community and the business community pause and take note, right? It is important to celebrate your wins. They're very gracious. They have been just wonderful to work with. They're good people, right? And that's where the relationships come in. It just was super fun. And they also know how to throw a really nice party.
So they do.
Very well organized. And
but if you look at
very celebratory,
some of the global media, they're also considered to be very cutting edge. And mm-hmm. I thought, who was it that had the list? Which magazine or publication had this? Oh, crud. I'm going to Google here real quick, because literally they were named one of the most innovative countries or companies in the world.
Excellent. Yeah. Good.
And so this is not you saying that. That's not them mm-hmm. saying that. It's not even local media saying that. It's like global media saying, look, this is a hugely innovative company mm-hmm. Picked out of all the things you can pick out of the world. And here they are, Indicator, Illinois.
Yep. Yep. And, that innovation is just all over the place here in Decatur. They are just really good about telling their story. And we talk about that often too, right? Telling your story. It's important to do that. But it's happening every day here. And I think people would be shocked to see what is actually being innovated, being produced and coming out of Decatur. But I love that they have gotten this much media attention, because it really has drawn a lot of eyes here.
So what does that mean?
It's Fast Company, by the way.
Fast Company. Yeah, okay. That's exactly mm-hmm. right. They made a list of, I think, the 100 most innovative companies in the world. And, InnovaFeed is on that list. And so thereby now Decatur, Illinois list.
Awesome.
So what does that then mean for you when it comes mm-hmm. to, economic gardening and, how that spreads? And based on what we already have, we see that with ADM making the step into InnovaFeed. And then what's next?
Yeah, so we have a couple of things here, right? So with InnovaFeed, you have, a very, very good story about what synergistic co-location models can look like. And so that draws the attention of other companies that want to do that. So we have a lot of conversations around that model. We're also having a lot of conversations and visits now based on the iFab Tech Hub, the fermentation and ag bioprocessing or ag biomanufacturing tech hub, for companies that see the capabilities that are here. Because we've been effective in pulling all those pieces together and telling that story, they're interested in that too. So again, it's really looking up and down the supply chains, up and down what each of those companies going to need, and seeing that a lot of that already exists here. And so that brings in more attention for the community, which means more conversations. And that means a possibility to land more companies and more jobs.
The amazing thing to me about Primient, about ADM, is how they've made huge companies out of, literally, okay, here's the thing, and then here's the byproduct of the thing, and then here's what we do with the byproduct of the thing, mm-hmm. which then turns into another thing, and then what the byproduct of that thing turns into. When you feed into like innovation and sustainability and all the things that we're talking about, and what seems to be a huge focus in corporate, in global corporate, I don't know where the end is. The possibilities. I mean, I remember being blown away that they were literally going to use corn to make carpeting, and take mm-hmm. Gasoline. Most people didn't realize fuel was used to make that product. What do you mean? You can do it with corn? They were making golf tees, mm-hmm. Out of corn. Now today, that looks like the Stone Ages.
I know. It's wild, isn't it? And if you've ever held, I know that sounds wild, living here, most people may have not held a kernel of corn in your hand or a soybean. They are tiny. You could swallow it a whole. Yeah. I guarantee you're taking pills every day that are larger than these kernels. And that is what they're doing, and making just products that we can't even imagine yet will continue to be made out of these crops.
All right. The carbon sequestration, mm-hmm. if we could talk about that for a minute.
Sure.
It's interesting because the debate in Springfield is to back off of this. Federal government's coming in and telling people, nope, we need to be all in on this. There's such mixed messaging mm-hmm. going on right now.
I think the big hang up right now, the most controversial part, is the pipelines. So
which is different than what we're doing here.
It is. The actual sequestration itself has been largely embraced. It's the pipelines and the transportation of it. There are not what some feel, there are not strict enough rules and regulation around it. And so that's where it sits, right? The disagreements come in.
Yeah. And there's land usage. And
there's a lot to it.
But when the federal government, the department that's in charge of you know, mm-hmm. this area says this is a key to sustainability. It seems strange to me that we have like local politicians that are against it.
Yeah, I think it comes down to the pipeline. I think largely they're okay with the sequestration part of it. I mean, there are some that are, you know, a little still unsure. I would just encourage them to, right, being educated about the topic is, in any topic, that goes for any topic, is really key to understanding the technology and how safe it is. But again, it comes down to the transportation part that gets people a little squeamish. But, you know, candidly, yes, there's the pipelines, but then just having the ability and the capability to do that here is that in itself is drawing more companies and eyes.
But it's a unique geography thing. We lucked into that. We didn't have any control over that. We just happened to be sitting on top of it.
Just like Lake Decatur and our abundant water resource. I was just talking to a gentleman from California, actually, at the Innova Feed event, and they do a lot of urban agriculture, and they are looking to expand, but California has such water issues. They know that it's not sustainable for them there. So they're looking to relocate to the Midwest, specifically to places that have great freshwater opportunities, right? So we have the Mohammed Aquifer. We have Lake Decatur. There's just an abundant resources here that, you know, God given. And so let's be conservative with them, take good care of them, but utilize them to create jobs and wealth in the community.
I think you have to work out, you know, if there are dangers. But there's dangers to electricity. There's dangers to nuclear power. There's dangers to having a dam. There's danger. I mean, in all of life, mm-hmm. I think you be as strict as you can to make it as safe as possible. Mm-hmm. But I still go back to the fact that the thing that I keep rolling in my head is why in the world would ADM put this under the largest man? I mean, you know, if they didn't believe in its safety.
Right. And I think it's like anything that's new, any new technology, people are like,
there's this great cry to do things better and to be more sustainable and to that we've got to change the way we've been doing manufacturing mm-hmm. and all of these things. And then it's sort of like, okay, here's a viable alternative. And then it's like, well, now we'll flip the script and now we'll argue the other way.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if it's a case of, you know, when something new is introduced in your life, and people who are really adverse
people hate
to
change.
Right. They hate change. So it takes a long time to warm up. I think technology is outpacing our human ability to accept change quickly and be comfortable with the change. And so I think, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of it probably stems from that.
It might be. But I think communities that figure it out, that happen to have the natural resources that we do and mm-hmm. the footprint that we have, are going to win this game.
You betcha.
All right. That's why we've got you.
Yep.
Not putting it all on you.
No, please don't. But you're right. I mean, you've got to figure it out. It's a highly competitive world. And just to our conversation earlier, it's very global. And so the quicker communities can rally and figure it out and build the infrastructure, the more competitive they are. Because what we're seeing now is companies are coming in with really aggressive timelines. And so as in economic development, we have to de-risk for them. And if that means we have things in place that they can capitalize on and take advantage of immediately, then that's going to make their company steps ahead of their competitors, and then we win. But if we're behind, they're going to go somewhere else.
And it's
and you never get caught
it's
up.
Never been more global than it is today. And I know correct. There are some people that, you know, make a big deal about the battery manufacturing, mm-hmm. you know, you are now competing. I mean, this is what I've said all TIF districts, whatever. You can line up anything. Do you bring a spoon to a gunfight, or are you out there competing with everybody else with the same rules?
Right.
Because if you're not, you lose.
You're just not competitive, right? So you've got to be competitive. And there are certain, you know, for certain industries, there are certain assets that they're looking for in a community. And if we don't have them, we can't compete. But I will tell you, we have them and we're very competitive. The state has really stepped up as well. They're listening to the local economic developers and what we need.
And that's different this second administration, isn't it?
It's very different.
I mean, they will tell you that.
In a super positive way. Yep.
I mean, I had that conversation with the deputy governor, you know, that mm-hmm. we're listening to people. We're listening to business. We're listening to economic development.
Yeah. I mean, it's been really helpful for us. And you're seeing that, because if that wasn't true, we wouldn't be attracting all the companies to Illinois that we are. Yes, some will leave. That is the nature of the business. But in large part, you know, we're now ranked, I think, number two in the nation for business traction. I mean, it's we're
yeah, and
we're
we keep up getting there. Upgrades. I mean, we got a long way to go, but yeah, I mean, just last
work.
Week,
there's always work to do.
But we moved to maybe to positive last week, which you have to incrementally celebrate those victories because the needle's moving the right direction.
Correct. Yep. And it takes a long time to turn that ship around, but it's happening and it's really exciting.
Well, congratulations. It's been you know, I mean, think about it. You know, first with Premium and you know, then a Nova Feed. You know. Been to Decatur twice in the last few months to celebrate a lot of investment and a
and
lot of jobs
hub,
and the tech hub, which you're right,
three times in like 2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll take
it. It's good. Things are rocking and rolling, and it's just a really exciting time. And it's warming up. Summer's almost here.
Yeah, I know.
Which then I feel like that's like Decatur's best season, right? I'm just super thrilled.
All right. Well, keep us posted on the big grant application. I know you got to go straight to that from here. So we appreciate you. Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you.
You can follow the Economic Development Corporation on LinkedIn. Great spot for you to see all the stuff that they're involved with around the globe, making Decatur a better place.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.